All righty. Thank y'all for coming to class this morning. And once again, we're studying Psalms 91. I hope it's been a blessing to you. And we're going to continue on, share a few thoughts with you before we actually get into the book this morning. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to share a scripture together. Then I want to just share with you what I believe the Lord showed me about this time that we spend together on Sunday mornings. Thankful to Pastor Todd for the vision that he has for growth classes. You know, this is the, what is it called, the initial one, the pilot or whatever you call it. Believe there will be the day that there will be more of these classes concerning other subjects. Because you know what, it's in the schoolroom. The classroom that you learn. You learn from preaching, but you learn from the teaching, just the classroom as well. Preaching has a different, it affects us differently, touches us differently. The anointing of the preacher ministers to us differently, but then there's the anointing of teaching that comes, and it's great that we have both. It's wonderful. Now, there's sometimes pastor steps into the place of teaching, you know, and so, but we all benefit from all of that. So this is a set apart time that God's given us. And thank y'all for partaking of it and coming. You're wise. That was a Selah. You're wise because you've come. And that has nothing to do with me. You understand that, don't you? But you're being wise because you're coming. Because God set this in place. 1 John 4, verse 18 says, I'm going to do it out of the King James. There's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. I'll let y'all hear pages turning. There's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. And the Lord began to minister this to me this morning about Psalms 91. You know, we're not here to be able to, at the end of the time that we're together, be able to quote Psalms 91. Now, if you can do that, that's wonderful. And I believe you're going to pray it enough that it'll flow out of your heart and it won't be a quote. But this is what he showed me about Psalms 91. It says, perfect love casts out all fear. And my prayer for us as we do Psalms 91 is that we'll get a revelation of God's love for us. Okay? Now, a lot of people can say, you know, you ask them and you could, you know, do you believe God loves you? And they'll say, yeah, God loves me. He sent Jesus to the cross. You know, and that's a good answer. It's a biblical answer. It's great and all of that. And so that's good. But saying that and knowing it is two different things. And oftentimes that's said from up here and not so much from here. And I'm not saying that for anybody in this room. Don't misunderstand me. But that is where we're at sometimes. And sometimes we focus a little bit more on our love for God than His love for us. But my love for God comes out of His love for me. And so he said, he wanted me to encourage you that as you're praying, Psalms 91, ask Him for a revelation of His love. Because you know what? That's what will keep you. When you get in a place where you need to hold on to Psalms 91, you know what's going to anchor you? Is God loves me. Yeah, you may be able to say, and you'll pray, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I say of the Lord, He is my refuge and fortress, in Him will I trust. But why can we say that? Because He loves us. It's a revelation of His love. That's why we can say that. You know, that's why I've told you the story of the woman. And I wished I could, maybe the Lord will bring it back to me or let me see it again or whatever. But this testimony of this woman that was in some foreign country and they were bombing. Remember this? She needed to go down, lay down and go to sleep. And she said to the father, she said, "You neither slumber nor sleep, so there's no use me staying up tonight." She went to bed. She went to sleep. She got up the next morning. Every house was destroyed but hers. Okay, why could she say that? This lady had a revelation of that portion of the word, but the root of that is she had a revelation of God's love for her. And perfect love casts out part of the fear, all fear. And I really believe with all of my heart that this class is a preparation for the coming days. Somebody was telling me, who was telling me this? Jan Goat. She said that she, and I'm not familiar with this, so I'll just tell you what she said. She said that Terry Pearson's at Eagle Mountain, that they've started a class early on Sunday morning. And she said, Wanda, it's similar to what we're doing here. I don't think they're per se doing Psalms 91. But she said that Terry's basically, and this is not a quote, it's maybe some of you are familiar with this and can expound on it, but basically she said, for what is coming, we need to be prepared for. So we're having this class, you know, and that's preparation. Does anybody familiar with that? Are you, Gene? Can you expound on that, Annie?
No, but what you're saying is true.
It's true.
And she's teaching Jude now. It's a wonderful teacher.
Okay.
Anybody that has Dish.
Yeah.
And it comes on Sunday night at, I believe, 9:30. Her teaching's about an hour, or a little less than an hour.
Okay.
And it's her and some of the associates there, and all of her just wonderful teachers.
Yeah.
But she, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, she's in, so it's preparation. It's for us to be prepared for in what? Because you know what? That's when the church is going to shine the greatest. That's why God wants us, we'll stand in that place of victory, and people are going to say, now tell me, how do you do this? Why are you not afraid? Why are you not, I won't go there. But anyway, why are you not afraid? Or this happened, but it didn't. Tell me, why did it not happen to you? This is when the church is going to shine. So it's not a place for us to be afraid of, but it's a place for us to embrace and take the preparation that the Father is putting for us. Now, we're doing Psalms 91, the prayer of protection, because you know what? For me, I mean, I couldn't do what Terry's doing. I'll just tell you that. I mean, I'm not schooled, even though I've been in the Word for years. I just don't feel schooled in the Word, you know, to do. But anyway, we're doing Psalms 91 because the Lord said for us to do it. And we're doing this book because He said for us to do it. So does this make a difference for you when you're praying Psalms 91, when you're meditating on it, when you're reading it? You said, you know, you do it. And ask the Father. Revelation. You know, what is it we say? Information changes your mind. Revelation changes your heart and your voice. And I don't know about you, but I need a change in my heart and my voice, because I recognize some places where fear will want to rise up in me. So that shows me. To me, it's like, you know, barometer, thermometer, I don't know what you want to call it, that shows me then there's a lack of revelation here in God's love for me. Jen, you look like you need to say something, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. The Lord also did this for me this morning, and you know, we'll get to the book. I want to read you Psalms 91. Let me get to it. But this is when this all came about, as I was praying this morning. This is the Passion Bible. I don't know how familiar you are with the Passion Bible, but I've become a little bit familiar with it. And the Lord told me, He said, I want you to read it out of Psalms 91 out of the Passion Bible. And I want you to add in there, because I love you, I'll do this and this and this and this. So I want you to just settle yourself, just get a little quiet. I want you to listen to this, okay? And let it grab your heart, okay? And let God talk to you about how much He loves you. Because God loves me, I can sit enthroned under the shadow of Shaddai. Because God loves me, I'm hidden in the strength of God Most High. Because God loves me, He has hope that holds me, and the stronghold to shelter me. Because God loves me, He's the only God for me. And He is my great confidence. Because God loves me, He'll rescue me from every hidden trap of the enemy. Because God loves me, He'll protect me from false accusations and any deadly curse. Because God loves me, His massive arms are wrapped around me and protecting me. Because God loves me, I can run under His covering of majesty and I can hide. Because God loves me, His arms of faithfulness are a shield keeping me from harm. Because God loves me, I will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night. And because He loves me, I will not have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against me. Because God loves me, I don't fear a thing. Whether by night or by day, demonic danger will not trouble me. Nor will the powers of evil be launched against me. Because God loves me, even at a time of disaster, with thousands and thousands of people being killed, I will remain unscathed and unharmed. Because I will be a spectator as the wicked perish in judgment. They will be paid back for what they have done. Because God loves me, I will live my life within the shadow of God Most High, our secret hiding place. And I will always be shielded from harm. Because God loves me, how then could evil prevail against me or disease infect me? Because God loves me, He sends angels with special orders to protect me wherever I go. And they will defend me from all harm. Because God loves me, if I walk into a trap, they'll be there for me. And they'll keep me from stumbling. Because God loves me, I'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them beneath my feet. For here's what the Lord has spoken to me. Because I have delighted in Him as my great lover, He'll greatly protect me. He'll set me in a high place, safe and secure before His face. He'll answer my cry for help every time I pray. And I'll find Him and feel His presence, even in the time of pressure and trouble. He will be my glorious hero and give me a feast because He loves me. I will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for Him, because He loves me. For I will enjoy the fullness of my salvation, because He loves me. And why does He do all this? Because He loves us. It's not a formula. It's not a, I pray this, I'm going to have protection. Yes, you pray that. You know, you release, you got to mix faith with it, as we learned in this chapter. But we pray that. But it's all because He loves us. And so if you'll mix that in when you're praying that, and to me that was precious. I love the part about the massive arms. I love that. And that that He gives His angels, they have specific things that they're taking care of for me because God knows me like nobody else knows me, and so on and so forth. But to me that speaks of His love. And maybe you don't need a revelation of His love, but I know that I do because of some fears. We talked last week a little bit about fear, you know, doing it afraid. And, you know, ask God to show you. He'll reveal to you. Because fear always has punishment with it. It has torment with it. And God doesn't want that. Well, you know what? You get caught in a place in these last day and times. You get caught in a place. You get bad news or whatever. One thing that the enemy's going to want to use is bring fear. It's just amazing, astounding to me, that story about that woman. She evidently had no fear in her heart. That is a revelation of God's love. Revelation, revelation, revelation of His love. That'll change your mouth. It'll change your mind. It'll change your heart. And it'll bring that to you and help you to walk through all of those places. You know what? You know when 1,000 may fall at my right hand, but it'll never come near me? But can you imagine being in a situation like the Las Vegas attack, where all those people in that concert, I mean, they literally saw people fall. I mean, you're rooted and you're grounded in love. You know what? That's going to be the first words that will come out of your mouth. And you're going to be able to stand. But you got to be rooted and grounded in it. It's got to be a revelation to it. Not just, I hope so. You know, God wants to take us from a place, when we pray this psalm, He wants to take us from a place of, I hope this happens. But I know this is mine. Just like any word, but right now we're talking about Psalms 91. But this covers every area of our life. You get, you know, you find out you've been in contact of some disease that nobody knows what it is or what will fix it or whatever. What's the first opportunity you're going to have? To be afraid. Have I got normal people sitting in this room with me? Are all of you so grounded in the love of God that you wouldn't be afraid if you realize that you've been in a certain situation, and in that situation you found out you were in contact with a disease that they have no answer for? What's the first opportunity you're going to have? To be afraid. So God wants us to become rooted and grounded in Psalms 91, but really what we're getting rooted and grounded in is the love that He has for us. Okay? All right. Now, we're going to thank you for receiving that. I felt like we needed to lay this. We're laying groundwork. We're laying foundation. And we're in chapter 2. And another thing that the Lord showed me about this is, when we were in class at Carol's Monday, we started Joseph Prince's new book, Destined to Reign. And I think we covered 2 pages, is all that we covered. But Carol made a statement that just went straight in my heart. And I think I needed to hear this just for me as the teacher of this class. And Kelvin, I share this with you because you get to teach some. But, you know, she said we're not going to be in a hurry because she said, why should we move on until we get it? And I tell you, that went off inside of me. This is where you become rooted and grounded. Repetition. What did Tim used to say for football? I don't know if you're very familiar with football. They do plays over and over. If you don't get it that time, you do it again. If you don't get it that time, you do it again. And so on and so forth. And he says repetition is the mother of learning. That's what he says. But anyway, I think revelation comes from repetition. Revelation comes from meditation. Revelation comes from looking at something and meditate on it, and you tear it apart. You tear it apart, you tear it apart, you tear it apart, you tear it apart. You see yourself in it. You got to see yourself in Psalms 91 when you're praying. You got to see yourself in it. You got to see your family in it. You've got to see whoever God's put on your heart to pray that for. We need to see America in Psalms 91 when we pray it. Whoever God has you that day praying for it, or if it's an ongoing place, the children in the New River Valley, we take it and we break it apart. And then I said, but Lord, you know, some of us, we don't have all morning long to do Psalms 91. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you pray and you got to go to work and you got to go to take care of this and you take care of that and you meditate on it. And I felt like the Lord said, you break it down verse by verse. You stay in Psalms 1, in verse 1, until you know it. Not till you can quote it, but till you know it. And sometimes we want to take the whole shebang, and there's times you pray the whole Psalms 91. But you take the first verse and you stay into it till you eating it, you breathing it. You understand? I mean, that's what I'm saying to myself. It's like, well, let's move on to this next page or this next chapter, or let's move on to, you know, this next verse. But then we say, okay, have we got? I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. You know, we learned that the Most High is Elyon, the possessor of heaven and earth. But then, you know, and then we go on to say, and we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. You know, you take that and you just say, and you just ask God, talk to God about it. Say, God, show me what this means. Show me what this means for me. Show this what this means for my family. How are you preparing me for what's coming down the road? When something comes. Man, you want this to rise up on the inside of you and be the first thing that'll come out of your mouth. I mean, that's when this class will be successful. It's down the road, you know what? And somebody can say, and you know what? You remember the testimony that's in here about the woman whose brother, have you read the testimony about the woman whose brother was in the car accident? Remember that testimony? And he was hurt. You know, I thought about her. I thought she had the perfect opportunity when she got word of that to just cave. Even though she knew Psalms 91, she'd been praying Psalms 91. But you know what she'd been doing? She'd been meditating on it. And she'd been listening, you know, listening to teachings on it. But you know the greatest person for you? Tell me who the greatest person is for you to listen to. I want an answer. Somebody give me an answer. Who's the greatest person for you to listen to? Well, he's good to listen to. Who else? Yourself. I've heard Mark Hankins say, you will respond more to your voice than to somebody else's voice, whether it be Pastor Todd's, Gene Smith, Kelvin Keith, anybody in this room, Brother Hagen, Brother Copeland. You will respond better to your voice. Now, he didn't give a scripture for that. But why would you not? Don't you respond to your voice when negative comes and you can say, everything's falling apart. I just knew that was going to happen. Now, don't you respond to that? You don't need, you know, I don't need Dusty saying to me, I can remember one time. When he first left Volvo, he retired, and it was not a planned retirement. But anyway, that's another story. And he left, and we had certain things that needed to be taken care of financially and blah, 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 blah. And I'm standing in the bathroom one day, and I'm just about ready to cry. I was getting ready, and he walked in there, and he said, what's wrong? And so I go, blah, 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 blah. He looks at me, and guess what he says to me? Everything's going to be all right. And I can remember at that time, Pastor Rob and Tricia were in Florida, and we would occasionally, we didn't keep contact a lot, but I called Tricia about something, and Pastor Rob answers the phone, and he says, "How's things going?" And so, well, I'm telling him about this little incident, and he said, "Well, Wanda, would you have liked it better if he had said, if he had joined in with you on your pity party?" And said, "I know, everything's just going to fall apart." You see? You know what? It's not just, it's great to hear these men and women of God speak, but you know what? You need to talk to yourself. And you'll respond the most from what you're saying to yourself. I'll try to find that. I'll just try to find that. That's in one of his books. But I ask you to trust me on that. That's what he says.
If a man thinks in his heart, so is he.
See? Yes. So, you know what? It's your own voice. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, you know what? We need to talk to ourselves. Not depend upon, you know, Brother Hagin to talk to us all the time, or Keith Moore. And that's good. You understand me what I'm saying about this. That's good. You need to hear that. Faith comes by hearing. But what are you hearing yourself say? Yeah. And so, when we're repeating this to ourselves and we're muttering it and we're tearing it up, we're chewing on it and everything, faith's coming to you. And this chapter, you know, he talked about the importance of, you know, the second verse. I will say. Who's that? Who's the person here? What's that? What's the English word for this? I'm talking about English language. English. Anyway.
First person.
First person. Thank you, Judy. Who's that? Does that say Keith Moore will say? Brother Hagin will say? Pastor Todd will say? Now, y'all know what I'm saying here. You listen to all these people, but don't put all your trust in them to do the saying for you. You need to be saying it yourself. I will say. You know, have you ever had somebody say, "Well, what do you think about whatever?" And you can say, "Well, I heard Keith Moore say. I heard Joseph Prince say, or Brother Copeland say." And, you know, and I think as a body of Christ, we need to get to the place where, you know what? You know, the Word says, so I say. Man, it's just time to grow up and just say, okay, faith's coming by hearing. So if faith comes by hearing, the Word says that, okay, then I need to hear, and I need to hear my own voice say, and as you said, Kelvin, and so you go around your house and you mutter Psalms 91, or if the Lord's having you, you know, mutter another verse. Whatever it is that, you know, where you're at, what need do you have? Where do you need to gain faith in and to grow in? Well, anyway, that woman, when she got that report, because she had been doing that, she'd been listening and doing that, when she got the report about her brother, I'm sure it doesn't say that, but I'm sure the enemy wanted to say to her, or did say to her, you know what, Psalms 91 don't work. But you know what? That didn't happen with her. And she was able to stand. And, you know, and then all in the midst of all that was going on, at one point she said she had a strong sense of peace. She was sad, but she had a strong sense of peace and was not worried. In fact, she's able to sleep very well that night. Okay, you know what? God wants to do that for us. So that when we get a call in the middle of the night, you can say, okay, Lord, Psalms 91. This is what I'm believing you for. This is what I've been trusting you for. This is what I've been putting in my heart. Or you get something at work that says, well, you know, we're shutting the doors tomorrow. Or, you know what, you get a call about a grandchild or a child. You know, they run away from home or whatever. You understand? This is what God's wanting to do for us. You know what, because God loves me. Because God loves me. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And you know what? I got the possessor of heaven and earth on my side. And I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know what? Lord, you're sufficient. You're sufficient in this. And I'm saying of you, See, we're not going past this till we get a hold of it. I'm saying of you. What are you saying of God? You know, the report comes and the fear wants to come. But I say of you, Lord, you're a covenant-keeping God. I got covenant with you. And because I have covenant with you, because I have covenant with you, I thank you that you're my refuge and my fortress. My Elohim, you're my creator, the God of power. In you, I trust. So we get a hold of this, these two verses, and then, you know, we'll move on down through. But what time? Okay, I got about 5 minutes here. Let me see. What do we want to finish up here in this book to go on? Okay, below the first testimony on page 26, the very last paragraph, this just reiterates what I've just said. But she had said, Jennifer, I think was her name, yeah, she had said to Pastor Prince, she said, Pastor Prince has started preaching strongly on Psalms 91 in 2014. And I began meditating on the verse. I also began sharing the Psalms with my family. And look at that, declaring it over my family members. You know, God's talked to us about decreeing and declaring, hasn't he? You know, Psalms 91 to me is a psalm of declaration. I mean, you can take any portion of the word and decree it and declare it. But when you're praying Psalms 91, do you ever feel that rising up in your heart? It's like, I'm decreeing and declaring this. Devil, this is how it's going to be in the Cromer household. Or this is how it's going to be in whoever's life that you're praying before. You know what? Revelation will bring that to you. And when we get a revelation of Psalms 91, a revelation of God's love, we'll, as the body of Christ, we'll stand in our authority like never before. That's what revelation does to you, doesn't it? It shows you who you are in Christ. It'll show you the call on your life. It'll show you who you are in Christ. And it'll show you the authority that you have as a believer. You know why we don't stand in our authority like we should? We don't know who we are.
That's right.
We don't have the revelation. You can say certain things. I'm learning for myself. I can say certain things to sound good. But man, when the rubber hits the road, that's when I know whether or not it's a revelation. So here we go back again to praying Ephesians 1. We pray that, and we continue to pray that daily, asking for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And that's why, you know, Mark Hankins says, the greatest need we have is a spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's the greatest need that we have. We have that need where Psalms, evidently we do, because the Lord said, do Psalms 91, the prayer of protection. We have need of revelation here in this. Man, annoying and annoying and annoying. That when things come, you know, you can say, this ain't the way it is. Let me tell you. Let me tell you, devil, this is the way it is. Goes on page 27. He says, can you see that Jennifer was actively listening to messages on Psalms 91? Let me explain what active listening means. The author of the book of Hebrews describes it this way. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So know what? You know, we got an assignment here, according to the word of God. As we hear this word, whether it be here, whether it be when Pastor preaches this morning, whether it be here, you're listening to Keith Moore or Brother Copeland or whoever you're listening to, you got to mix faith with that. And you know, I've heard Keith, Mark Hankins, I love this definition of faith that he says. It's acting like the Word of God is true. That's what faith is. So you take it, and we got to act like Psalms 91 is true. So when fear wants to rise up in your heart, and I mean, you know, I told you that there's a lot of fears, and there's all these, I mean, there's like 200 and some. And I think it was a newsletter I got from Mark Hankins. But anyway, he was talking in it, and he named three of them. And angro, whatever, whatever. And it was like, right off, I can't remember what those fears were. But they were the silliest things to me. But to somebody else, they wouldn't be. See, that's how the enemy works, is fear. So, as we're hearing this, as we listen to ourselves pray this, decree it, declare it, you know, if you want to listen to messages on Psalms 91, there are messages you can listen to. But you release your faith, that faith's going to rise up in your heart of God's love for you. Mix it with faith. Mix it with trust. God, this is your word. He says, I pray that as you listen to the words in this book, you're coming alive and mixing your faith with Psalms 91. She said, many people heard me preach on the prayer of protection, but you can tell that Jennifer ran with the teaching, mixing it with her faith to the point that she began to share the psalm with her family members and declare the power of God's protection over them. Believing begins on the inside. Faith begins on the inside. When the word of God is preached, faith is the hand that takes it and says, that's mine. The promises of God's protection are mine. What begins inside is then reinforced outside. You begin to speak the word out loud. But then that's what we do, because we're talking about the prayer of protection. As we're praying that, you know, you take the one verse, you meditate on it, you get it in your heart, and I'll be honest with you, what I saw myself doing, whether this be any help to you or not, but I sometimes put scriptures up in different places in my house, and I saw myself putting Psalms 1 into place, verse 2, verse 3. So as I walk about my house, Psalms 91 is right before me. Now that may not mean nothing to you, but it helps to, you know, keep it before you and to speak it out. Let it become a part of you. Let your faith mix with it. And you know, you can walk, if you do that, you can walk in your kitchen and you can read Psalms 91 verse 1. You can say, you pray that, and I said, that's mine. Then you go, if you're going in your bedroom and it's Psalms 91 verse 5, you speak that out loud and you say, that's mine. You got verse 10 in your car. You say, that's mine. You see what I'm talking about? We have to make this mine ours, or we're just wasting our time. And I don't want us to waste our time. And we're not going to waste our time. And we'll be the better for